Proverbs chapter 2. We're going to finish up. I think we were right at the end of it, and I had about 5 minutes, and I wanted to get to a stopping place. I'm going to back up and work our way into chapter 3. Last week, we finished looking at the strange woman there in verse 16, the foreigner or other woman, as we saw that Hebrew word means there. So it says, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. And so there, as it talks about the wife here, it shows that relationship to the husband and her relationship to God. The guide of her youth is the husband, and that is the husband's responsibility to be the guide spiritually for the family, for the wife. And both of them, the husband and the wife, when they get married, make a covenant with God. And so remember, in chapter 2, we've been looking at it for a while, and even at the end of chapter 1, there's wisdom being personified, and wisdom cries out for people to follow that path. And then there's the ungodly crowd, and they cry out for people to follow them there. And then he comes and talks about the strange woman who also cries out, and she, being used of Satan, tries to lure especially young men to go her way. Now we come to verse 18. It says, her house inclines unto death, and her paths unto the dead. And so if you go back up to verse 2, and I'm focusing on that word incline. It says, her house inclines to death. And verse 2 says, so that thou incline thine ear to wisdom. And the word means to lean towards something. And so we have the ear and we lean towards God when he's speaking so that we are certain to hear that. And so in verse 18, when it talks about if a person leans towards this strange woman, then it's going to lead to destruction rather than to life. And we need to lean towards wisdom. Don't lean towards darkness. Don't lean towards wickedness. Verse 19, it says, none, not one, that go into her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. And so immorality destroys all who go there. Of course, there's forgiveness for all of those who get involved in immorality. God can heal. God can cleanse. But there are going to be scars, aren't there? There are going to be consequences there, but God can restore there. But the warning is, you know, you don't have to have the scars. You know, avoid those things, he says. Verse 20, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it there. And so the way of good men, the way of righteousness, it calls out. But there's a way of the strange woman and a way of unrighteousness that cry out as well. This word perfect in verse 21 is the word that's used in the Old Testament when it's referring about a lamb being perfect, without blemish and without spot. And so that's what he's telling us, beware, because there are certain ways that we can go that will cause blemishes and spots to our character. And he warns us not to go that path because it is a path of destruction there. So in verse 21, it says, the upright shall dwell in the land, the perfect shall remain in it. Remember when we first started the book of Proverbs, I said there are three primary ways that the Proverbs are presented. One is there's a contrast from one thought to the next. And one, there is a completion of the thought, and one sort of explains the other. And here you see the explaining it. they're kind of repetitious. The upright shall dwell in the land, but the perfect, synonymous with the upright, they remain in it. So we dwell in the land, we remain in it there, and that's what God does for the righteous. Then verse 22 says, but the wicked, and there's the contrast, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressor shall be rooted out of it. And that's in direct contrast to verse 21. Rather than dwelling in the land and remaining in it, the wicked, they are cut off and rooted out. It's permanent both ways. So the way of the righteous, I was preaching in chapel today and I was going through Psalm 1 talking about the righteous and the ungodly, and there are two different kinds of people in the world. There are two different paths. One leads a path of life, the other one is a path of destruction, and they're both permanent. The way of life in heaven is eternal, and the way of destruction in hell, that's forever also. So one is remaining in the land, the other is rooted out of it. Now we come to chapter 3 here, because we know in the millennial kingdom we're going to inherit the kingdom, and that will be a glorious time as well. So he says, my son, forget not my law, but let mine heart keep my commandments, at thine heart. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So let's look at the first four verses, and then we'll get to a couple of my favorite verses, 5 and 6, sort of my life verses. We'll get to those in just a little bit. In chapter 3, verse 1, he says, forget not. Now, that's a tough command, isn't it? Don't forget something. And the older we get, it seems like it's harder to obey that command, don't forget something. So how do you avoid forgetting something? Well, the best way is to keep going over and over and over, you know, and it will help. And so here he says, don't forget my law. And so it is the continual reminders of God's word that we need. And the more we go over it and over it and over it, we read it and we hear it, we memorize it, and then go back and memorize the same thing over again that we memorized before. And, you know, it's just reruns of God's word should never grow old. We watch reruns of TV shows and sometimes reruns of movies. There's one movie that our family has probably seen at least 20 times. I don't know how many times we've seen this movie, but and Caitlin comes to visit, and as she wants to, we'll put a puzzle together and she'll watch it, and then the next night she wants to watch it again. So we've seen, and so, and if we can do that with movies, certainly we can do reruns of God's word. It never grows old there. And I know you're all thinking, what in the world, what movie is that? Everybody, and well, my wife and daughter can tell you. It's Tim Conway and Don Knotts. It's The Private Eyes. I think it was made in 1982. It was filmed at the Biltmore House in Asheville there. So anyway, it's a funny movie. Back to our topic, chapter 3. My son, don't forget my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. When the heart keeps the commandments, as it tells us here, then the thoughts, the words, and the actions tend to follow. But if it's not in the heart, then the thoughts and words and actions aren't going to follow. So it's not just doing those things, but rather let the heart do that. And that first word, let, is pretty important as well. He says, let your heart keep my commandments, because we must let our will be in subjection to his will, because it's not natural for us to let God's word be in our heart and keep it. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to do that. And the way that happens is we don't forget his law. We read it every day we're in God's Word and learning it, and it helps us to walk the right path. Then he makes a promise in verse 2. Length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Think about that. Length of days, long life, keeping God's Word, does it guarantee that you're going to have a long life? Do you know people who have been godly people who died in their 20s? Did they have a long life? Well, not on this earth, but they're still living, aren't they? Knowing the Lord here. But all of these things go together. When you read it in its entirety, length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. And so you don't separate those things. And so a person who on this earth has a short life and number of earthly years, if those years were in keeping God's law and living for Him, and days of peace in his life, those days can seem much longer than those of the ungodly who are having miserable days in their lives there. And so God gives us long life, eternal life there, and it is a life of peace, and they are added to us when we keep God's Word. We're saved by keeping God's Word initially, not by works. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the Bible says that we trust Him and we obey His Word and trust Him. And therefore we begin a life that never ends, which is also a life of peace. Verse 3, there's the word let again. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Mercy is often translated in the Old Testament, loving kindness. Someone put this definition, I wrote it down. An act of the will to treat a person as though a great relationship exists. An act of the will to treat a person as though a great relationship exists. Now, if a great relationship does exist, it's easy to show mercy, isn't it? But mercy is treating someone with kindness even though the great relationship is not there. And that's what God did when He showed mercy to us. There was no relationship with us and God. We were at enmity with God. We were separated from Him. But yet He showed loving kindness and mercy to us. And so He says, let mercy and truth not forsake thee. And those two things go together. Combining mercy and truth. You think about that. If a person, think of it in the context of rearing kids, if they are merciful all the time, you know, then they tend to be very permissive in their child rearing. But if they are holding to the truth all the time and they never show mercy, and it's always black and white and never, you know, if a person is that strict all the time and holding to the truth with never, ever showing mercy, you know, then that will drive them away as well. And so what we really need is a balance. And finding that balance can sometimes be hard. That's why we depend upon the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to guide us. So He says, don't let mercy forsake you, because if you do, you can be hard. But don't let truth forsake you, because if you do, you just let anything go there. And that shouldn't be the case. And so it's a wonderful thing when we look at the cross of Christ and those two things of mercy and truth. They came together at the cross. And God is a God of truth and righteousness and judgment. So therefore, truth had to prevail. But God is also a God of mercy. And so God, in His omnipotence and omniscience, was able to take mercy and truth and put them together on the cross so that His justice was satisfied by death because of sin. but not Jesus' sin, of course. But yet his mercy was extended to us because his justice was satisfied. Propitiation is a word we see in the New Testament there. And so here he tells us that we also, even as God is a God of mercy and truth, we need to be the same kind of people. We need to hold to the truth, but we need to be merciful there. And so we need wisdom and when to hold our ground and when to be merciful there. He says, don't let them forsake thee. He says, bind them about thy neck there. And whenever you bind something around your neck there, sometimes it's for an ornament. That phrase is used of David and Jonathan. Remember their friendship? It says that their soul was knit together. And here it says, let mercy and truth be knit together. Let it be braided around your neck. And then he says, write them upon the table of thine heart there. Now, the Pharisees wrote them, and they would bind them around their necks. And they were called in the New Testament, remember, phylacteries? That's what they did. So they took this literally, and they wrote the scriptures, that they tied them to their foreheads, and those who really wanted to show off, they would have big phylacteries, you know, because they would bind the Word of God around their necks and on their heads so that people could see they were carrying the Word of God. Well, that's not what God wanted, is it? It says to bind them to your heart. Write them on the table of your heart there. And you've heard the saying before, I'm certain, God's word will keep me from sin, or sin will keep me from God's word. And so if we bind them on our hearts and we write them there and we don't forget them, they will give us long days, they will give us peace, we will know when to have mercy and truth and not forsake them. And when all of that takes place, verse 4 says, so, something's going to happen. He says, so thou shalt find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Favor and understanding is a way of saying pleasing acceptance. God will have pleasure in accepting us, but not just God. Notice verse 4 also says, in the sight of God and man. It is important what man thinks of us. So if we have mercy and truth, and if people see in us that balance that we're a person of mercy, but yet we're a person of truth because God has that balance. And if we're demonstrating that to other people, they will also see Christ in us as well. And that we will find favor with God, especially with Him. Now, verses 5 and 6. I mentioned that these are life verses, and it stems from my graduation from college. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And so I have a small little plaque hanging on my bookshelf. It's probably 2 inches by 2 inches there, and it has a graduation cap on it. And it has not both of these verses because it's too small there, but it has on there, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. There. My mother gave that to me whenever I graduated from college. And so let's look at these verses. Trust in the Lord. And that's a Hebrew word that means to attach yourself to something for safety and security. How many of you enjoy riding roller coasters and rides at amusement parks? Some of you. How many of you hate getting on? Sometimes it might change with age, you know, and depending on the ride, especially if it's anything up high, Ferris wheel, just That's not for me. That's for the birds up there in the air there. But they when you get on those roller coasters, our grandson Brett loves them there, and they have these things that they go way up, don't they? And they just drop down, and I guess your heart goes with it. But they got you strapped in so that you'll be secure and safe. And some of us won't get in even if we are strapped in. But that's what the word means here. Trust in the Lord. So whenever life takes you and slings you around like a roller coaster up and down there, you need to be buckled in. And whenever we are attached to the Lord, doesn't mean that we're not going to have some ups and downs in our lives. But when we trust in the Lord, He will never fail us. And sometimes it's a sad thing when you read in the news about one of these rides, it slipped a track and it went off and somebody fell out or something happened. It's you don't read it often, but often enough it makes me want to stay off of them. But with God, that never happens. He never fails. So when we attach ourselves to Him for safety and security, He's always there. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. When you lean on something, you do so for support. Have you ever been somewhere, maybe in a place that wasn't so familiar to you, and there was something that looked like a column or a wall, and you thought you would lean up on it, and all of a sudden it started to move, and it wasn't that secure? Well, that's what happens when we lean on our own understanding. We will fall. But God commands us here to lean not on our own understanding, but to lean on Him. God loves it when we depend on Him and we tell Him that we are dependent on Him and that we need Him to give us support. It's not a weakness. Some people think dependency and leaning on someone else is a weakness, but it's not. It's a spiritual strength when we're leaning upon the Lord. It's a weakness if we're leaning on ourselves, for sure. So he says, lean not unto thine own understanding. Your ability to comprehend something, that's incomplete anyway, in and of itself there. And so he says, don't lean on your own understanding. Verse 6, in all thy ways, that is, in every direction you go, and whatever you do, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge the Lord. That means to know which way He's going and go that direction. That word acknowledge is used in the passages where God is dealing with the Israelites and He brings on the 10 plagues. And He brings on these plagues because He wants to teach them who He is, and that His power is there, and that they can trust Him. And that's the same word we see translated here, acknowledge here. So we acknowledge the Lord. We don't lean on our own understanding, and every direction we take, we acknowledge Him. And then verse 6 says, and He shall direct our paths there. That word direct means to be straight and smooth and pleasing. So rather than being on a bumpy roller coaster ride, thrown about and scared to death and almost falling off, God has a path for us to take that is smooth sailing, that is a path of long life, verse 2. Also verse 2, it's a path of peace. It's a path of trusting God. And we find favor with God. We find favor with man there. And God wants to make our journey through life smoother as we trust Him. Oh, there are going to be some bumps along the way. But aren't you glad you're not on that roller coaster by yourself? You have the Lord by your side. And no matter what curve life throws at us, we have attached, verse 5, trusted in the Lord. And we're not holding on to Him. He's holding on to us. And we can trust Him. But whenever we start leaning on our own understanding, our own experiences, our own knowledge, when we start trusting in our emotions and all of those things will fail us. But when we attach ourselves to the Lord and trust in Him and cling to Him, He will make our paths smoother and pleasing to Him. Verse 7, we'll pick it up there next week. We see the opposite of that. Don't be wise in your own eyes. You know, don't think you've got it. He says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. And that's where we find long life and peace and trusting the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the book of Proverbs and for the wisdom that is there. Lord, we know that if we stumble and fall, it's not because we haven't been told which path to take. It's not because we have obeyed You, but we've gone our own way. And whenever we go our own way, a way of darkness and rough paths, Lord, we stumble. So help us to fear the Lord and depart from evil. Help us to trust You with all our heart. Help us not to lean on our own understanding. Help us to look to Your Holy Spirit to guide us so that in every direction we go, that we will see Your hand pointing, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it, knowing that You will never forsake us. In Christ's name, amen.